for tuning into the Dr. Nick Show with your host, Dr. Nicholas Nikoloff, top plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, and me, your co-host, Jasmine Jacob. So today we're talking about what makes a great presidential candidate. Of course, we've been hearing about the candidates 24/7 now, and in my opinion, none of the candidates running are, you know, fantastic, great candidates. But Donald Trump is clearly taking the lead and dominating. Why do you think that is, Dr. Nick?
Well, I do not want to get into a great political discussion. And yes, I'm kind of a little baffled by the whole phenomenon. But I guess people are just kind of tired of hearing the same rhetoric. And sometimes just speaking your mind, even if it sounds like it's totally out there, people want to see at least somebody who says what they think. And that's the only thing that comes to mind. People are frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree as well. I think the country's just ready for something different. I think, in my opinion, when the country's just kind of in that state, and like you said, when someone's just speaking their mind, it's almost, I guess, something refreshing and different than just really political or politicians that kind of run and who do the formality and just make sure everything's more politically correct. So I think this is something different, and that's why Donald Trump is leading. But I think also he does, and I think this is what makes a great presidential candidate, someone who is charismatic and well-spoken, and someone who is firm in their beliefs. I think these are all things that make a great candidate.
Well, I don't know if I'd call him charismatic. Personally, that's not how I would describe him, and that's not necessarily putting him down as a person or anything else that has to do with that. But he's honest, and frequently the language that he uses to describe things is very common, but those are the voters that he appeals to. He appeals to someone who just wants to hear things the way they want to hear them in their language, speak out, maybe be not as politically correct. And yeah, some of us are a little tired of political correctness. You can go overboard and you can make silly things an issue of, oh, that's not what you should say. He speaks his mind. So at the end of the day, people want to hear somebody that is what they wish they could be. As far as charismatic, he is very media savvy. And when you're media savvy, you know how to manipulate. You know how to manipulate the viewing audience, and all it is, it's a viewing audience. So maybe
the shows have helped out. Yeah. He's been a performer. He's been a reality star. He understands TV, but in a more entertaining way that I think a lot of the candidates right now don't really understand or have experienced. So I think because he is this entertaining personality, he understands what works and what doesn't, what causes a rise out of people and what doesn't, which I think is really interesting and different.
Well, he's turned the election into reality TV, but
he has.
Once again, there has to be an audience that receives it. And once again, in terms of political things, whether he's right or wrong about some things, whether I agree with him or not, I do not want to make the show all about that. But for me, the important thing that I notice, and again, being a plastic surgeon, people will say, oh, that's kind of superficial. But if you look at all the candidates, and I pay attention to these subtle clues, and they have advisors that pay a lot more attention to these clues because the public, whether knows or not, they feed off them. But the way candidates dress, the way they handle themselves, and even something which a lot of us would think about initially and find silly, having hair, and having a lot of hair makes a big difference. So when I look at him, he's probably the one that's most follically challenged, but you can tell he's fighting hard to keep whatever he's got and put it in the right places.
Yeah, he is. He has that.
So what do you think of his hairstyle? You're a woman.
His hair is ridiculous. I honestly can't even take him seriously with that comb over. It is just ridiculous. He is clearly trying to hide something under his hair, whether that's his baldness or maybe a botched surgery he went through or something. I don't know what it could be, but it looks like he's hiding something. And I don't know if you.
Well, I know what you were saying earlier. He's got a big horn underneath, but I don't think so. So yes, he's trying very hard. Even a bad hairstyle. And something that looks to a little ridiculous, and for better or for worse, his hair has been a butt of a lot of jokes. But that comes to show you how important hair is. And say, well, we're talking about politics, we should be talking about issues, and why are we talking about someone's hair? If you look at presidential candidates, there hasn't been one president that has been elected since Dwight Eisenhower that has been bald. And if anything, he's going to be, if he gets elected, and I'm not sure he will, I'm not sure where the election is going, but he may be the first one that's somewhat follically challenged.
Well, he tries very hard not to be.
Well, and there is a reason for that. And the thing that surprised me, why would that be? Initially, you think, oh, the public perception of someone who doesn't have much hair. You always think, oh, they're really smart. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, and I'm not sure there's a correlation, but that's how people have... coined the baldness is a sign of intelligence. Well, I guess we either don't want an intelligent president, at least by appearance.
We clearly don't, as the polls are determining.
Well, once again, I'm trying to stay away from that subject, and not that I'm a Trump supporter. On the other hand, I try to be respectful of candidates, because if you're going to jump into the fire and be a candidate, I would certainly hope you're doing some of this to do the right thing. And whether I agree with a candidate or not, I respect the fact that they're willing to go through what I think is hell just to accomplish something they believe in. But if you look at any president, Gerald Ford was, obviously, we all know he was bald, but he was vice president, became president, and he lost the re-election. So he was the only bald president in quite some time, but he never got elected.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of people or candidates and presidents, specifically, when I think of them, I tend to think that most of them have a nice, full set of hair. I mean, I picture Reagan, and he had, I don't know what he did, but his hair was amazing. It was so intact. It was beautiful. And it's just interesting to see that majority of the presidents have a full set of hair. I think
all presidents. All elected presidents. And this is since Eisenhower.
Degree, right, that
that's
were, like,
a long time.
Follically challenged.
Well, that's a polite way of saying have a shiny dome on top. But, some of us, whether we are more or less follically challenged, get sensitive to certain terms. So I like softening it.
So what do you think? I think that someone who – I think a lot of the reasons why – people do want a full head of hair, especially men and women too, is because it does make them seem a lot more dominant, a lot more healthy, a lot more vigorous, just youthful. And I think these are reasons why it is appealing for especially a president to possess these qualities.
I think it does give you the impression of somebody being youthful. Somebody being energetic. Not for a good reason, probably, I'm not sure the correlation is there, but that's what you get. And believe it or not, I have a lot more to talk about when it comes to that. Also, women. Women is just a great subject, at least for me. But for women, hair is just as important as men's hair, and they love having a full set of hair. Mm-hmm. And what do they do? A lot more on this when we come back.
Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your voice.
Welcome back to the Dr. Nick Show with your host, Dr. Nicholas Nikolov, top plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, and me, your co-host, Jasmine Jacob, here on Lifestyle Talk Radio. Before the break, we started to talk about presidential candidates and how most candidates have not been bald, which was really surprising to me. I do understand why, but it was just shocking to see that fact. What do you say, Dr.
It is. It is very shocking, but not. Once you figure out what politics is about, it's about the image you portray. And it's that way with everything. It's not just in politics, you get elected, but unfortunately, everything else we do in life. One of the things, I do hair transplantations in my practice, or at least one of the things that I do, and I see a lot of men that are top executives at companies, and they come in, and one of their big thing is they want to look more youthful. But they don't have to be bald. Just losing hair, it's almost like losing virility. It's losing energy. They're perceived as being weaker, withering away. That's what they tell me. And as a result, some of them think, well, I'm having a hard time leading. People don't follow as much. Or people think, well, he's getting older. Maybe I can... take his spot. So the competition kind of builds up. People are going after their jobs much more and they're getting less respect. And if I didn't hear it time and time again firsthand, I would think, really? That's really an issue, especially in a big business where you've proven yourself and done well? But apparently it is. A lot of them want to have hair transplantation.
Yeah. Well,
so it's the same thing in business.
Yeah. My dad, Dr. Nick, started balding at a young age. He started balding towards like the front of his hairline. I would say his mid-20s, which is extremely young. And he had to get a wig near his hairline. And I remember him feeling really self-conscious about it. And my mom, because she's a little meanie, she would make fun of him and say that her side of the family had a full head of hair, so that was never going to be a problem with the men in her, for her side of the family. So it made me wonder, is this a genetic thing? Is this something that has to do with just like, is it hereditary?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Well, there are many reasons for that, and from metabolic diseases to how you treat your hair, et cetera, et cetera. But the number one thing is, you're born with a gene, especially as a man, because men get affected a lot more than women. If you're born with the gene, you're out of luck. And it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to lose your hair. And if you have an extreme circumstance, yes, you see men in their 20s start losing hair, or even have a shiny dome on top. And somebody in 20s shouldn't be in that position. But there's nothing you can do. That, at that point, that is genetic. However, once again, Men really love their hair. There is nothing more important to them than hair. So, if I may quote a study, and again, forgive me for the nature of the study, but they it's more like a survey. I don't want to call it a real scientific study. They asked men what is more important to them and what they would prefer more, to have a full set of hair, even men that weren't balding, just thinning out, or enlarge their penile size. You know, you think men will be hung up on certain things. Guess what an overwhelming majority of men chose?
Their hair.
More hair.
Really?
Yes, more hair.
Wow.
And they consider that more of a sign of masculinity than anything else.
That is so interesting. Wow.
So that comes to show you. And that, when I saw it, it's, I was blown away.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that that would be the actual outcome. And it was by a lot. It wasn't just barely winning.
So interesting. So we have a caller right now. Alexia, are you there? Alexia?
Hello? Yes, can you hear me?
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
How can we help you?
I'm just very interested in the topic. I heard that you guys were talking about balding. I also heard that you, Dr. Nick, mentioned something earlier about men who... like CEOs and companies, they felt like they couldn't really be leaders because they were losing their hair. But for me, I feel like bald heads is a signifier of wisdom. And also, I feel like they would make great leaders, because if you're going bald, to some sense, you said it's genetics and you can't really help it. But if you're going bald, you're older and you may have acquired more knowledge that you can kind of pass on to your staff and your employees. So I don't see a problem with being bald. I actually find bald men very attractive. I like a bald man who has some facial hair on his face. I've never really had an issue with it, and I feel like a lot of men think that women do.
Well, it's, as anything else, it's self-perception. And the way you look at yourself is much more important than others see you. But what you're saying is the conventional wisdom. That would have been my opinion, and I would have thought the same thing. You couldn't have said it better. However, all the studies and how people are perceived point to the opposite. And part of the reason why I'm talking about the subject is, when I looked into that, it really took me back. And when you look at the number of presidents that have been bald, based on the general population, we should have had a lot more. And a lot of them don't even get it. They don't even run. They don't get popular enough to be even candidates. But it's nice to know somebody appreciates a wise man. And as I'm getting older, that is much more dear to my heart. So I may even go shave a few hairs. Just from talking to you, you're making me feel better.
Well, that's good. I mean, I don't know if everyone has my outlook on life. So if you have a head full of hair, Dr. Nick, I would definitely still keep it. But, I don't see anything wrong with the bald man.
And there isn't. Just to be clear, there is absolutely nothing wrong. That's what nature does. Doesn't make you any better. Doesn't make you any worse. Doesn't make you smarter. Doesn't make you dumber. But, again, this is a very youth-oriented society. Mm-hmm. We think young is better. So.
All right, well, thanks so much for calling, Alexia. We're going to take a quick break.
Thank you for your input. And we have a lot more to come. And let's talk about women.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Hello.
And welcome back to the Dr. Nick Show with your host, Dr. Nicholas Nikolov, top plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, and me, your co-host, Jasmine Jacob, here on Lifestyle Talk Radio. So we've talked a lot about the concerns of men and balding, but now it's time to talk about women because it is a concern of ours. I mean, I get scared when I see patches of hair fall in the shower. Is this something that a lot of women are concerned with too, Dr. Nick? Because I'm sure, I definitely am scared about that.
Of course they are. Everybody's concerned about hair. We take it off from one part of the body and put extra on top of our head. Women do the same thing, which is causing a problem. But before I really go deeply into it, I know we have another caller that is eager to talk about it and
We do have a caller. Najita.
So, welcome to the show.
Yes, my name is Najita. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks so much for calling.
So, of course. I found it interesting you guys were, I'm at work, so I'm trying to keep it down. I found it interesting you guys were talking about this today. So, I'm not as concerned with balding on my head yet, although I know that it is something that happened to my mom's side and my dad's side, so I'm afraid to lose head. But more importantly, I'm afraid of losing my eyelashes. So, you know, I have kind of short little eyelashes, and people often tell me they like them, but other people tell me I can get some fake ones put on. Not the ones that come in a full pack, but the ones that are put on one at a time. But I've heard that when you do that, you can oftentimes lose your eyebrows, or excuse me, your eyelashes. So I'm concerned.
I'd be very careful. How old are you?
How old am I? I'm 26.
Yes, 26. Well, you sound like you're young and energetic. And again, obviously, I'm appreciating youth after having said how sexy old men are. And that's a self-serving statement. but
they are. I agree.
But be careful. You're young.
Okay.
Let your youth be what it is. Speak for you, and don't go overboard with putting that stuff on. And I'm going to tie this to one of the other things, which is hair extensions. Every time you put something on, either the normal hairs, eyelashes, or hairs on the scalp, if you're pulling on them, tugging on them, not letting them breathe properly, whether there is glue there, you're altering it. So here they are.
Yeah.
You don't have as many. They're struggling. They're not as long. And now you're putting extra stress on them. So what do you think is going to happen? You're going to have shorter eyelashes, maybe fewer of them. And then you'll say, well, see, I really need those extensions. I need some extras glued on. So after a while, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, one thing that works.
Wow.
And there is something that would help, and that's Latisse. It does give you thicker. It's Latisse.
Okay.
It's a product made by Allergan. It's a little thing you put on your eyelashes every night. It makes them thicker.
Okay.
It makes them longer, healthier. And yes, for those of you out there, it's totally off-label use. But I have patients use it on the eyebrows as well. If for whatever reason they've gotten thinner, and patients have been happy with that too. But try that.
Wow.
It's your own eyelashes, and it's a medication that's used for glaucoma, so it's not harmful to your eyelashes or to your eyes. So that's what I would recommend.
That sounds great, because I truly like the natural sort of curl of my eyelashes, and I don't want to compromise that. So if I can get a little growth from there in a healthy way, that would be amazing.
And now, just think, you can bat those eyelashes and get exactly the response you want from the opposite sex. So, that's what it's all about. Where are you from?
Where am I from? I'm from New Jersey, actually.
From New Jersey? You don't sound like a Jersey girl.
Well, I'm no Jersey girl, that's for sure.
Okay, see? I was right there. See, I played this game. I tried to figure some of these things out. But
where do I sound
wherever
like
you
from?
Are, I have no idea.
You sound like
it's
a New Yorker.
Do I?
No,
okay, good. It's working.
Jersey, New York, same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well,
the
so
more.
Thanks for calling, Ajika.
All right, thank you. Take care. Have to get back to work.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The most important thing to get from this. Yes, we all want to look better, but sometimes the remedy may be worse than the problem we start with. I'm not saying extensions, eyelash extensions, any of those things are always bad for a short period of time or whatever you decide to do, but be careful. Don't go overboard, and if there is a more natural way to do it, do it. Which actually, maybe instinct told me this will be a great caller, because it's a very good segue into women losing hair. And what is the most common reason? What would you think that is, Jazz? Not to put you on the spot, but
if like the biggest concern for me.
Now, why would you think most women would lose hair?
Well, I think most women would lose hair. I mean, I've heard that it's because of stress, and I think that it also has to do with hormones and hormonal levels and just, yeah, I would say stress, hormones, and genetics. Honestly, those are things that I've been told to be careful for, because when I'm super stressed, I've heard that if that causes hair loss. And like I said, when I'm in the shower and my hair falls, I get scared, because I don't want to be stressed and I don't want to lose hair. So that's something that definitely is a concern of mine.
So you get stressed over losing hair, so you lose more.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
and I shouldn't
it's
do
natural
that.
It, to
I
put your mind at ease.
Or something.
Oh, that would help.
Exactly.
I can promise you that. But
so
it's
wait,
natural
Dr. Nick,
to
I think
lose
we have
some
a...
hair. It's okay what? To lose some hair. I wouldn't stress over that.
Okay, so like little strands is fine.
Right, because they break. Also, there's a natural turnover. Not all the hair follicles you have a hair shaft. Some of them, think of them as sleeping bears, hibernating, waiting to come out and be active again. And there's always a certain percentage of that.
So we have another caller on the line. Muna, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Hi, Muna.
Hi, how are you guys?
Thanks so much for calling.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dr. Nick. So I have a question for you. So I have a lot of hair. And over the years, I've used numerous amounts of products on my hair, everything from defrizzing serums to gels and leave-in conditioner. I've even tried putting an avocado in my hair, and I've even done like an overnight butter deep conditioning product. And so over the years, my hair has began to thin dramatically. And when I wash my hair...
So you got your wish.
What was that?
I said you got your wish.
Not well.
You
had
too
much
hair. I
always thought that I wanted less hair, but it's been thinning so much and so rapidly. And even when I wash my hair, as Jasmine was saying, a lot of my hair comes out as well. And so I was just wondering, what are some things that I could do to minimize the amount of hair that I'm losing and to sort of speed up my hair length and growth?
Well, I love callers because you just went into exactly what I wanted to talk about next, and that is,
okay,
how do you lose hair?
Mm-hmm.
And especially for women.
Mm-hmm.
And Jasmine was all stressed out, and yes, that's a major cause. But the most common reason is overprocessing hair, at least these days. It didn't used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Women do so much to their hair, straightening it out, blowing it out, coloring, overcoloring, taking the color out. The end result is you end up stressing the hair and losing hair. So maybe we'll give Jasmine partial credit because it is stress to the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do also process my hair, so now that makes a lot of sense why I've been losing my hair lately.
So when you end up pulling so much on, and if you have curlier hair, you know the whole thing. Everybody that has curly hair wants straight hair. Everybody that has straight hair wants curly hair.
Right.
But when you do so much to it, you stress it, you pull on the root, and if it's not happy with you, it's not going to stick around. Think of it as a boyfriend. So, that being the case, I'd love to go into a lot more depth, but we're going to have to wait till the next segment, because once I start on that rant, that's going to take a while.
Okay.
So, can you stick around with us?
Sure.
Okay, please hold on. You're listening to the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. This is Dr. Nicholas Nikolov with Jasmine Jacob. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Dr. Nick Show with your host, Dr. Nicholas Nikolov, top plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills, and me, your co-host, Jasmine Jacob, here on the Lifestyle Talk Radio. We talked to Muna and Najita before the break about some concerns they had about losing and thinning hair. And I learned
and
that not
eyelashes.
Only stress... And eyelashes, right. And I learned that stress isn't the only cause of hair loss, but also over-processing and over-treating your hair can cause hair loss for women. Which is so interesting, Dr. Nick, because I do that all the time to my hair. I'm constantly highlighting and coloring it and changing it and getting bored with it. So it makes a lot of sense as to why, like, I've experienced some patches of hair falling out.
Not to underestimate stress, and that's why I appreciate our producer picking a nice song like Stairway to Heaven and not Another Follicle Bites the Dust, which was
nice
the beginning of the third segment of our show. That kind of made me stressed out and worried about my hair. So being calm does make a big difference. And do we still have our caller on?
I think she left, unfortunately.
Oh.
Sad.
Well, she hung up. Oh, well. I feel ditched.
I know. She bailed on us.
Maybe she figured out I'm a little more follically challenged than she liked. Or maybe not challenged enough. However,
maybe.
Some important points that I want to make when it comes to this before we have more fun with it. And, of course, hair is always a source of a lot of fun for most of us. But if you're a woman or a man, one of the things that are very important to think about are to go get a physical, make sure you're healthy. Thyroid, and especially low thyroid hormone levels, would be a frequent cause of brittle hair, losing hair, and that's not that uncommon of a condition. There are several hormones that can cause this, and it's not just getting older and the change of life or menopause, whatever you want to call it. It's not just that. There are other reasons for that. So go get a checkup. Make sure there are no metabolic causes for this. And then the next thing is, be kind to yourself. There are some vitamins to take that help hair support the growth. Most of them are pretty readily available, with biotin being one of the main ingredients. So look into that. And the last thing is, be kind to your hair. Don't do things to your hair that you wouldn't do to the rest of your body. Don't pull, tug. Just because the hair is inert, the little bulb underneath that helps it grow is alive, and it does like a lot of attention, stimulation in a positive way, not insults, pulling, tugging, and abuse. So, if you follow those things, you'll be okay. You don't want to see me as a woman. And unfortunately, I see a lot of women that have had some kind of hair loss and they need hair transplantation. More common than you would think. But most of the time, it's because they weren't kind to their hair.
Interesting. So, what do you think is better? Like, say someone has exhausted all of the different ways to do it naturally, so they can't take vitamins or treat it, or, you know, they just completely, whether it was genetics or whether they overprocessed their hair or damaged it, what would you recommend is better? Would you think, would you say hair transplant is better? And what exactly does hair transplant entail? Like, what is the procedure for that? And, or would you suggest having a wig?
Excuse me. Well, you know, for me, it's always 50 shades of Dr. Nick. So it's never one thing is best. It depends on the situation. Sometimes when there is focal loss, hair transplantation is obviously best. That happens from overprocessing. Occasionally I see it as a result of a surgical procedure that someone had undergone, and all of a sudden they run and say, oh, you have to fix me, fix my facelift. Well, it's not fixing the facelift, but a lot of times it's just fixing the facelift and making the hairline pattern much more natural. So, of course, their hair transplantation helps best. If it's a diffuse loss, yes, there are several things. It makes it a little harder, but you have to look at other modalities that would help hair growth. There is such thing as the laser cap. That laser has been shown to stimulate hair growth. You have to use it like a lot. And when you stop, some of it reverts. Women can use Propecia. That's not a good idea. Men can, and that helps with hair loss as well, especially towards the top of the scalp, the apex. So those are some other things to think about. And of course, another thing that we do is injection of plasma, platelet-rich plasma, and that seems to help hair and make it healthier. So there's several treatments and several things you can do short of hair transplantation, but each indication is different for each patient. So it just depends the kind of hair loss and what you need. It's never the same answer for everybody. So let's see, what are you going to need, Jasmine?
Well, I'm going to need a meditation once a week, a vacation at least once a month. I'm going to need to throw away my hair coloring at-home products. And I'm going to need to get a haircut and continue to make sure my hair is healthy and not add anything. I think what I'm learning from this conversation that's really important is to just make sure if I do buy any products, and kind of what our caller Muna spoke about, just don't put anything in your hair. Just don't, make sure you know what you're putting in your hair. And that's what I need to do, is just to not trust everything and just really be certain what I'm doing to my hair.
So the moral of the story is, relax, be kind to yourself, be kind to your hair, and your hair would look better and you would feel better. And
exactly.
As far as how you look, well, if you feel good, you'll look better as well. And if you need hair transplantation, that's always an option. But so much more to say. Unfortunately, we're out of time. You're listening to the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network with Dr. Nicholas Nikolov and Jasmine Jacob. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.